I have a somewhat, I think, embarrassing confession to make. I can't remember the last time I wrote a thank you card was. Is it? Oh, I felt kind of judged there for just a second. That's okay. How many of you know the last time you wrote a thank you card? You know, and that is, wow, y'all are so much better than I am. Please tell me your ways. Now, I have written thank you cards before. And I've gotten thank you cards before, and I really do. I try to make it a point to tell people to their face, if not, just send them a quick text message and let them know how thankful and grateful I am for them. But there's something about somebody taking the time to get some sort of material, you know, whether it's they're, you know, just taking some printer paper out and writing something right there, or getting a Hallmark card and writing a special message. There's just something about that that lets you know, hey, there's some time, there's some effort, there's some resources that are kind of put into this. I actually have a stack of thank you cards that I keep that I've received over the years just here at Velocity. And this probably isn't all of them, but I keep a stack here on my desk. Right here in the back office, just as kind of a reminder of some things. Because, you know, a thank you card it communicates more than just, hey, thanks for existing, you know, or thanks for doing that thing that you did for me. It ascribes worth and value to another person. It kind of gives us a reminder that what we do matters and that our existence here is meaningful to other people. I like a lot of these. One of my favorite ones It just says, we want to say hi, and Rob is the best. Like, and it doesn't always have to be, and it doesn't even matter if it's true, right? If easy. But it doesn't have to be something, you know, super convoluted or just this amazing thing where you write this, you know, epic poem to the person. Sometimes it can be just something simple and something quick, but it means so much when we let people know that we're thinking about them and that we're putting some time and effort into why they're there. Otherwise, without that kind of encouragement, without that kind of reminder, I think we kind of go along through life just thinking that even when we feel like we're going above and beyond, we're just kind of functioning at a base level of expectation of other people. And we just sometimes get out of the habit of letting people know how meaningful they are to us. I know that early on in our relationship, my wife, Renee, when we were dating, she would leave me random notes all the time. We had, in college, we had these mailboxes that somehow she got access to. I'm not even sure how that worked. And, I probably do know how. Anyway, but she would just write random notes of encouragement, had a basketball game coming up, you know, she would say something, she would leave things in there. And I still remember how meaningful those things were to me to this day. I mean, it's one of the things that helped me fall in love with her because I knew that she cared about me and she was willing to share that pretty regularly. You know, and I get, like, sometimes we're just kind of going on in life and we just kind of have this assumption that maybe other people just know how we feel about them. You know, it's like the old, I told you I love you once. If I change my mind, I'll let you know. You know? I told you thank you once. Like, I assume you just kind of know that I'm grateful for you. And we just kind of, unless we're regularly in the habit of letting people know, they probably don't know how you feel about them at all. I can tell you it's really hard to read people's minds. I've tried it, and I'm not good at it. But when we put our time and we put our giftedness and we put our resources behind letting someone know our gratefulness does more than just kind of make somebody feel good for a moment in time. When it becomes the way we live, gratitude isn't just a feeling we wait for or go on a search for. It's something that we work together to cultivate in one another's lives. And so as we kind of wrap this short sermon series up together this morning on gratitude, we're going to talk about the final piece of the puzzle that kind of brings everything to a head. Gratitude, you probably heard, you know, you got to have an attitude of gratitude. But gratitude doesn't come from an attitude. Gratitude comes from what we put into practice. And we've talked about this over the past couple weeks. We've talked about how Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, it's easy for me to say, chapter 5, verses 16 and 17, he says, rejoice always. And so we talked about how that looks like confidence in God over everything else and every situation we find ourselves in. Last week, Neil Wheeler came and shared with us what it looks like and what the impact of praying continually in our life is, and so we put those things into practice. And then Paul gives us a third thing, and he says, give thanks. Except that's not all he says. I kind of wish that's all he said. If he had just said, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks, That would have worked out really well, I think, because it's just two word phrases. But he says a little bit more about this final one. And here's what he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 through 18. He says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." That little catch, you know, that word all, is kind of tough for me. I don't know if it is for you. Have you ever heard that kind of call and response in church before? God is good. Have you heard this? Some of you, yeah, a few of you have heard this. So what would happen is somebody said, "God is good." And then the congregation would say, "All the time." And then you say, "All the time." And the congregation would say, "All right, you guys want to try that? Because that was kind of weak." No, I'm just kidding. We're good. Is he though? All right, I love that answer. I think it's great. But all is a really big word. Give thanks in all circumstances. We have to make a choice as to whether or not we're going to put faith into practice that this is actually true. There are plenty of circumstances that we've probably all found ourselves in or can at least empathize with, that we've seen other people go through, relate to, that we're decidedly not thankful for. You no longer have a job. Thank you, Jesus. Why are we laughing? Isn't that your response? Give thanks in all circumstances. We should break up. God is good all the time. An effort that I put into it was worth it, right? I mean, is that our typical response? Your flight has been delayed. I can feel the Holy Spirit working, building up that fruit of patience, you know, in my heart and in my life. I don't know. If you respond that way, I would love, you teach me your ways. That's maybe not all of us, our first response to those issues. And I think I have hopefully some helpful good news for some of you who've been taught the opposite of this. You don't have to be happy about unhappy things. So I just kind of want to let you know that this is not exactly what Paul is saying here. Say, "Oh, just be happy about everything that happens to you. It's great. Just trust me. It's all worth it." I mean, you can look at a couple different things in the text of the Bible to kind of get a sense and understanding of this. If you've ever read through the Old Testament book of Job, then you know and understand that Job goes through a lot of things that he's not particularly grateful for, and that's okay. God doesn't call him out for that. Or you read through the Psalms, and much of the Psalms is written by David, and many of the times he's writing the Psalms, he's pouring out his heart and his mind, his soul, and the emotions that he's feeling in times of his life where he is not grateful for what has happened in those circumstances. And the reason why this is okay, it's not about being happy in everything that happens, is that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, Paul doesn't say we have to give thanks for all circumstances. I don't know, maybe that doesn't seem like that big of a difference. It is to me, though, that in every situation I find myself, it's not like, "Oh, I'm so thankful for this exact terrible thing that has just happened in my life." Not all circumstances are great, obviously. However, what Job and what David do, and what's so often modeled for us by people in Scripture, what they did consistently over the course of their ups and downs is that they had a posture of faith and thankfulness for who God is and what he would do regardless of the circumstance. We can give thanks in all circumstances because with God, there are no wasted moments. So the time where I was told I didn't have a job and I didn't quite appreciate that and I wasn't thankful for that, that created space and experience I needed to have the job that God was preparing for me. I didn't realize that at the time, but I can look back and see that now. And because of that experience and because of that, I can look at things differently in my life, and I can anticipate what I can be thankful for in those moments. Not being in a relationship, it creates space and experience that we need to be with the person maybe who we're meant to be with. Or maybe having a flight delayed create space and experience for learning how to be adaptable or being patient or how to be long-suffering or developing some resiliency. I mean, so many different things. I mean, last time I had a major, like, hours-long flight delay, it happened to be with my dad, and we had one of the most important conversations that we've had. We share time and conversation about our relationship with each other, our relationship with our family, all kinds of things that were incredibly meaningful. So maybe not give thanks for everything, but in everything, that is possible. For every one circumstance that is not going right, there's so many others that can be going right at the same time, or at the very least have the potential to be going right. But if we're too short-sighted to see it, what we are ungrateful for will overtake everything else. You can take two people, and this is not just an anecdotal thing. You take a natural disaster or something that happens regularly throughout the world. You take two people and you put them together. You have one person who has learned how to give thanks in all circumstances. And you have one person who all they can see is what anybody would be ungrateful for. And you put them in the same exact situation, the same scenario in which they're having to rebuild their lives. And it's very obvious, and we know instinctively who's going to thrive and who's going to be just consumed by their bitterness and never be able to move forward in their life. The choice to give thanks or not cuts both ways. And when we rejoice always and pray continually, it gives us the confidence and the perspective to see our circumstances as part of something greater that as a whole fulfills God's will for us within the transformative work of Jesus. Paul doesn't just talk about this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He talks about this in other places as well. Philippians chapter 4 is one of those places. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." The key to all of this and what Paul is trying to establish with the church in Philippi and for all Christians to understand how this works, how rejoicing always, praying continually, being thankful in our hearts, how this plays a part in our circumstances, is that these are all choices that we make before the circumstance arrives. So this is a decision, this is a choice that we make before we find ourselves in the circumstances that we aren't particularly grateful for. How ahead of time you're going to react to the situations that you find yourself in your life. Now, you might ask, well, how's that possible? You and I don't know the future. Absolutely. I 100% agree. And there are going to be plenty of things that happen in my life and in your life that take us off guard, that we are not expecting, that we never saw coming for ourselves. But we do know the one who does know the future. And we don't have to be willfully ignorant about the possibilities in our life that we see that play out in the lives of other people. So many people go through life without an understanding of how their own decision-making and thinking processes affect how things play out in their lives. They don't make the connection from A to B. And while not everything that plays out in my life is the result of my choices alone, not everything is, I at least need to be able to be honest about how my choices play an integral part in what transpires in the grander narrative of my story. And so I can either approach things thankfully in all circumstances or ungratefully for the circumstances I don't want to be in. But that's going to make an impact on how my life plays out and how I see God's will moving in my heart, in my mind, in my situation. I can choose ahead of time how I'm going to generally respond to what life might throw at me based on the thinking and thankfulness that I put into practice. Thankfulness is not just a feeling that we feel and respond to. It's a spiritual discipline that precedes our circumstances. I don't know what that means, but that was the one that says that Rob is the best. A couple of things, like for Sunday mornings, for example, Sunday mornings always make me nervous for a couple of different ways. I've told some of you guys know I don't eat on a Sunday morning. I drink water. That's it. That's all I can do. I wait till after service, and hopefully there's like one of those amazing brownies that Mary makes, you know, sometimes, and Laura makes sometimes, you know, or half a cup of coffee or that kind of thing. But there are a couple of things that make me nervous about that. One is that I'm going to sleep through my alarm clock, which I haven't slept long enough to miss church in so many years at this point in my life. I remember being able to sleep in. It was amazing. I could sleep till noon, like nobody's business, take a 3-hour nap, and then sleep another 12 hours. It was incredible. It was amazing. I can't do that anymore. But I think about that. Like, what if I break down on the way to church and for some reason I'll have self-service and I can't get to anybody and like I'm going to miss church? Like, what is going to happen? And then I realize it's going to be perfectly fine. Y'all don't need me. Not to worship. It's not about me being here. It's not about anybody else being here. It's about us being here collectively together, and that makes an impact on how we show gratefulness to God and how he becomes our audience of one this morning. And man, you know, if I miss or something doesn't happen, like I can anticipate ahead of time how that's going to be approached. It's like, hey, we're still going to worship. We're still going to praise. And we can still read scripture. And we can still be together and focus on what truly matters and be thankful in that circumstance. I mean, there's all kinds of things that I can think of that, you know, really not want to happen at all. I don't know, maybe I'll try it next Sunday. Like, maybe I'll sleep through my alarm, you know. It's just Easter Sunday, it's fine. So much of this is tied into just kind of how we think about our thinking. And how much cultural influence plays a part in that. Culturally speaking, like the big thing for us right now is that what you feel, you do, and then you kind of know how your life is supposed to be. And it's such a, unfortunately, it's such a backwards approach, and it's why we deal with so many issues of stress and anxiety and worry and depression, because we've got so many of those things twisted where the thing that is the way that we approach that is so much healthier for us is to know the truth, act on that, and that is where the things that matter, how we feel, our emotions, that's where those things are developed from, and that's how we do that in a healthy manner. And so the way that Paul is kind of telling us to approach life, a life of gratitude, is he's not saying, hey, react to things in such a way that your feelings, you know, match what I describe here. He's saying, know that because who God is, the way that you can live your life is one of gratitude. And that is what directs your emotions. That's what directs your feelings and helps you to understand what God wants you to experience in this life, what his will for you is in Christ Jesus. Giving thanks in all circumstances is about the actions we take. And so we have to ask ourselves, like, are our commitments and our convictions, are they determined by the situations we find ourselves in? Or do we determine how we handle the situations we find ourselves in by our covenant relationship with God? Like, that's something that we go in with a predetermined response, no matter what circumstance we find ourselves in. There's a certain level of pride or hubris that we approach life with if we don't recognize that God is the one who changes our state of being and has already done so through Jesus, and that transforms our thinking into one of thankfulness. Listen, I like a good gripe session just as much as the next guy. Plenty of complaining in the Psalms, so I feel like I'm you know, I can complain a little bit here and there, but if it just stays there without kind of any redemptive perspective, then we miss out on what we have to be thankful for, and that's where bitterness and cynicism and being jaded becomes the thing that consumes and directs how we approach life. We make the choice to be thankful before we get into the circumstance. As Paul continues in Philippians chapter 4, he kind of gives some practical application in his own personal life of what this looks like. In verse 10, he says, "I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it." I'm not saying this because I'm need. The Philippians gave for Paul to continue in his ministry. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Philippians 4:13, that's one of those fun ones, right? That's the one where that's how you know God wanted you to win the national championship, right? Is Philippians 4:13, I can do all things. That's right. That's how I win the Super Bowl, because I know God gave me the strength to do that. Well, all right. But there are a couple things that Paul has to say right before this. I've learned how to be content, whether well-fed or hungry, whether happy or miserable, whether, you know, there's so many things that we could put in those categories. You know, one side of the coin, here's the other, the extremes that we find ourselves often in life, the ups and downs that we go through. but I can do all this. I can do all this. I can be thankful. I can rejoice always. I can pray continually because of God who gives me strength regardless of the circumstance that I find myself in. One of the things that the Philippian church does there practically is that they take up a collection. They're able to give to Paul and the work and the ministry that God is doing. There's so many practical things that we're called to do and participate in as Christians that are a decision ahead of time, not as a result of what we find ourselves in. It's not about the gift so much or the amount, but it's about the heart and it's about the thinking and the gratefulness behind it. Paul explains that he knows he can move through any of life's circumstances in the good and the bad and remain thankful because God has already supplied for all his needs. And he's encouraged that the church has made the connection, the people in the congregation have made the connection between their thinking and thanking and how it produced gratitude in a tangible way. Thankfulness is a spiritual discipline that precedes our circumstance, but also supersedes our circumstance as well. That we have a choice as to what becomes greater in our life. The thankfulness that we have as a result of who God is and what he's done, or this other thing. Either the circumstance is the thing that blows up and dictates everything that we do from that point forward, or we've made a choice ahead of time that our covenant with God is going to be the thing that leads the way. When we've made the decision to practice thankfulness ahead of time, the discipline of that practice through the good and the bad keeps us anchored. But when we aren't, when we don't practice the discipline of thankfulness, when we aren't grateful and show gratitude, anxiety and worry take over. If comparison is the thief of joy, being worried about what we don't have or the circumstances that we're in that's unfavorable is the thief of thankfulness. It's so closely tied to joy and prayer in our life because the reason Paul commands us to give thanks in all circumstances is that God is fulfilling his will through our salvation and connection to following Jesus. Like, that's already happening. It's not meant to be a thing of, like, I don't know how God is doing this. I don't know what's happening. No, it's already taking place through what Jesus has done for us. And when we're anxious about things and ungrateful about things rather than thankful, it chokes the good news out of life that exists because of what Jesus has already done. The etymology of our word worry comes from Old English, meaning to strangle, which originally had the force or meaning of being seized by the throat and tearing. It's such an appropriate imagery, I think. And this is kind of where we are when we're not thankful, when we don't let gratefulness kind of lead the way for us. Any of us who have stayed up all night worrying about something know that worry doesn't just stay in the mind, but it affects us physically as well. It affects the way we think. It makes us sick. We've kind of tested all kinds of ways of approaching life. I mentioned this before, where we're kind of like, oh, we'll let kind of our feelings dictate what we want to do. We've discovered it's not working. It's not making us more happy. Many times we let other people dictate how we view our circumstances. Well, look at them. You know, they're in that nice house and I'm in debt to my eyeballs. You know, you remember that commercial? That's such a great commercial. And so we compare so many other situations without knowing even what's actually going on there. And we allow that to dictate how thankful we are. And it just takes away energy from the very things that would lessen or improve our ability to be thankful. Because those things that we're concerned about in those circumstances either keep us from the solution to our problem, because it keeps us from wanting to do something about it, or it either consumes us with coming up with solutions that problems don't exist, with problems that don't exist in our lives. Because again, this is not just something we react to, this is something we cultivate in our life. So we have a choice. We're either cultivating thankfulness, or we're cultivating something else. And a lot of times it's worry and anxiety and ungratefulness as a result. There's a different way. And a thankful mind leads to a heart of gratitude. And so Paul says, give thanks in all circumstances. Cultivate this in your life. It looks like caring about right things. You know, the removal of worry in our life doesn't equal the removal of caring about the situation. That just leads to cynicism. It's just about choosing to care about things the right way. It's so much easier to say, well, I'm just not going to care about this situation. Or I'm not going to let somebody else's circumstance, you know, kind of influence how I approach things. Or I'm going to kind of leave that over there. It's so much easier to say I don't care than it is to say I will care about this in the right way. So it's about caring about the right things. It's also about keeping the right perspective. When the temporary seems overwhelming, that's when we need to remember that our God is eternal and that his will for us will not fail. The incarnation, you know, Jesus, fully God and fully man, Yes, it is that is the cornerstone of him becoming a living sacrifice so that can be redeemed back to God, but it also makes the connection for us between the temporary and the eternal, and recognizing that what God is doing is so much more expansive than what is happening in the moment in our life. So many times we struggle with being thankful in the circumstances we'd rather not have. I think Charles Spurgeon's quote is very appropriate here. He says, "When you go through a trial, the sovereignty of God is the pillow upon which you lay your head." And that is why we can be thankful in all circumstances. It gives us the right perspective. There's this story, this encounter with Jesus in Luke chapter 17 that I think illustrates what our natural proclivities are when it comes to being thankful in the right ways. This is in Luke chapter 17, starting in verse 11. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and he traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." You had leprosy, you were cast out. Like, you were not allowed to be a part of society. You had to kind of live off by yourself. Maybe they found some community together as lepers, but they couldn't be a part of normal society. A circumstance that you would not want to find yourself in, and be hard to find thankfulness there. And when Jesus sees them, and they call and they ask for him to have pity on them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. The significance of this is that the Samaritans were considered at best to be unworthy to even talk to someone like Jesus, to talk to someone who is Jewish. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" And then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." The reason I think this story is so significant, plays into this idea of giving thanks in all circumstances, is I think we could understand from the text that all 10 of these lepers were thankful that they had been healed, right? I mean, we know that because they were excited to go tell the priest so they could reengage. I mean, maybe this is enabling them to see family that they haven't seen in years. I mean, this allows them to reintegrate into society. This means that their life is not on a that their life is now on a redeemable trajectory. And so, like, we know all ten of these guys are thankful. The problem is that 9 of them were just thankful that they got to move on in the moment, and only one of them really understood what had just happened. It wasn't so much that he had been healed from leprosy and now he could move on with his life and like that was the highest good and like that was the thing that he could be most grateful for. It's that he was healed from leprosy. And this doesn't happen like this. And what he recognized is his thankfulness needed to be directed not because, "Oh, I don't have leprosy anymore," but because there is someone who can heal from leprosy. And that's what I need to be thankful for. And that's where my gratefulness should be directed. And this is what changes our hearts and our minds, to be able to be thankful in all circumstances. The discipline of thankfulness that we put into practice, the way that we apply this in our life, you know, thankfulness, again, is not something that comes to us. It's something that we give. That's why Paul doesn't say, you know, feel thankful in all circumstances. He says give thanks in all circumstances. That when we put our thinking and our effort and our giftedness and our time and our resources into gratefulness in our circumstances, it changes how we see and understand God moving in our lives. It doesn't have to be this grand show of amazing things. Sometimes it could be, I don't know, just as simple as like just a post-it note that says, "Rob is the best." I don't know why you would send that to just anybody, but just let them know, you know, Rob, okay, maybe you could put their name in. You know, just fill in the blank, just is the best. Blank is the best. Grateful people, people who understand what God has done for them and how they can approach any circumstance that they come up in our life are people who give. They're giving people because they recognize that there's nothing that they lack because God has made them whole. And this is what this one Samaritan leper was able to understand and see through in his circumstance, is that God had made him whole in a much grander and bigger way than just for that one moment in his life. And so my encouragement to you is maybe a way to just kind of be mindful of this. And there's so many ways that we're called to practice this regularly. Some of that is in giving of our money, offering. You know, we talk about that every Sunday. It's a part of our worship. That's absolutely one of those things. Giving of our time to other people in the situations and circumstances that they find themselves in, that's absolutely one of those things. The resources that we have, the material possessions that we have, the way that we think, the experiences that we've had, all of those things are resources. Those are ways in which we can show and give thankfulness to God for what he's done in that. And part of it is about participating in that in other people's lives. And so my encouragement to you is just think about all the transitions into circumstances that you have in your life. And I'm not talking about big things. I'm talking about like getting out of the car and walking into the house. That's a transition from one circumstance into another. Maybe just take some time to give thankfulness for that circumstance, that you have a house, that you're walking into, you have some food, that you had a car to get you to this place. Maybe if you're struggling with being thankful in the circumstances you find yourself in, maybe instead of focusing all of your attention on that one thing, take a look at all the other things that you have infinite reasons to be thankful for and practice that. Every week at Velocity, we practice this together as a church. And maybe there's more of a connection than you realize. We do this by taking communion together. And we have a couple different tables around the room where we have a couple cups together that have a little bit of bread and a little bit of juice. And the reason we do that is because Jesus institutes this thing called the Lord's Supper. One of the times that Jesus talks about this is in Luke chapter 22, verses 17 through 19. And he uses the word thanks. He gives thanks as he's approaching this. I'm just going to read the text to you and then tell you something that I think that is very, very compelling and meaningful about it. After taking the cup, he gives thanks. Jesus gives thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." This word that Jesus used for thanks is the same word that Paul uses in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It's eucharisteo. It's a compound word in Greek, and it puts two words together. And some of you maybe have kind of heard a word in there that you're familiar with. We call the Lord's Supper, this time of communion, a couple different things, but one of the things that's called is the Eucharist. So you've heard that that's from this, okay? So this compound word that Jesus used, eucharisteo, which means thankfulness and gratitude, is a compound word of joy and grace. And so as we think about, especially this time as we gather around the table together and as we're thankful as a congregation for who God is and what he's done, the thankfulness that God is calling us into, that Paul commands us to have, that Jesus is setting the foundation for, because he becomes the bread that is broken, he becomes the wine that is poured out, the living sacrifice for us so that we can be redeemed back to God. Like, that is the foundation from which we have this joy and this grace in tandem that gives us a gratitude that supersedes anything else that we face because of who Jesus is and what he's done. And we celebrate this every Sunday together as a church. And so I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to take communion together. But I just ask as we kind of do this together that we consider the joy and grace that we have because of what God has done and for his will in us through Christ Jesus. Let's pray. God, we want to be a grateful people, and that often means that we need to be a reminded people, reminded of who you are, what you've done, and what is true in all circumstances that we face, and that is that we can be thankful for who you are and what you've done and will do. Even if we don't have the solution, even if things seem overwhelming, even if we don't know that things will will ever change. We know that you're the one who can change everything and who has already done that through Jesus. So God, we just ask for you to give us the courage and the reminder of the hope that you give us through Christ, so that we can be grateful people, that we can be thankful in all circumstances. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.